You're listening to The Divorce and Your Money Show, the number one show on iTunes that discusses the financial issues in divorce. I'm your host, Sean Lehman, MBA and certified divorce financial analyst. And on this episode, we get to interview an author. I want to bring you the best divorce resources I can find, even if they're not my own. And today is one of those days where a new book just came out called The Optimist's Guide to Divorce. And we're interviewing Jill Sockwell. This is a great book, particularly for women, that covers just about everything that you might want to know through divorce. I picked it up and I started reading, and there's just so much practical information in here. Everything from how do you sit down with your spouse and tell him that it's over, to how do you move on and start dating? Can you start dating? How do you keep this divorce from affecting your day-to-day job? What potential employment opportunities there are, to even hairstyles and how to get fit and meditation. There's just so much practical information packed in this book. So be sure you check it out, men or women. It's written for women. It's really funny. It's really entertaining. It has lots of good stories, but many men could get value from this as well. So without further ado, here's my interview with Jill. Today on the show, I have with me Jill Sockwell. Jill is the author of The Optimist's Guide to Divorce, How to Get Through Your Breakup and Create a New Life You Love, co-authored with Suzanne Riss. Jill, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Sean. It's so nice to be here.
Now, Jill, really enjoyed your book, and we're going to get into some of the lessons and chapters in the book. But before we do that, why don't you tell us about your background and why you wrote the book, and maybe even also mention the Maplewood Divorce Club?
Sure, I'd love to. I got separated at the end of 2010. And as a former advertising copywriter, that's the person that dreams up jingles and writes commercials, I love to read. And I really just wanted to read my way through my separation and divorce and kind of benefit from all of the women who, you know, have gone through the process before me and take all that information to help myself out through the process. And what was really astounding to me was the lack of resources. I think everyone's familiar with these great kind of fantastical adventure type memoir books, you know, where people can go to far-flung places and find themselves. And those were very entertaining, but, you know, they really lack any advice and guidance. And then on the flip side, there were a lot of dry, more clinical books written by industry professionals. And what I was really looking for was something that was kind of warm in tone and girlfriendy and maybe entertaining, but really packed with practical advice. So for me, then and there, I kind of thought, well, it's just a shame that this doesn't exist. I'm just going to have to write it myself. So I had going through the divorce process, I was also going through it in the suburbs where it seems like you're surrounded by so many people with happy, intact families. And one of the ways I thought I could best support myself was to kind of make my own micro community, if you will, of other single mothers, people going through separation and divorce that would kind of help mirror my experience so we could learn and share with each other. So I started the Maplewood Divorce Club in 2013. And it was amazing. On my very first meeting, we had 50 people show up.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was like, I'm not the only one. I mean, I knew that there were a few other people, but I was so surprised and so thankful that we've been able to form this group and this club that has really helped all of us, you know, through the whole process. And now even being a few years out from my divorce, we're all, a lot of us are all still in the group, and the group is still going strong as new women join, but also as it's still relevant because it's kind of become the foundation for our new lives as single parents.
That's great. And can you give us an overview of The Optimist's Guide to Divorce, which just came out in December?
Certainly. Again, speaking to the fact that, you know, we really wanted to have a book that had a lot of great advice filled with helpful information and tips from women who have, like, in the trenches, like, we have been there, we've gone through it, here's what you need to know. What we did was we sectioned the book into three sections, deal, and that's really the most practical of the sections. It's like right now you just had the conversation, either, you know, your husband gave you the conversation or you had the conversation with him. That's chapter one. Chapter two is like telling the kids. how to help them with the transition, how to help them go from one house to two homes. We have everything from the legal stuff, tips for hiring a lawyer, to chapter four, which I know we're probably going to speak about today, making a budget, a lot of the financial concerns, to even the home issues. Are you going to sell the marital home? Are you going to move out, get a new condo? All of that is covered in chapter five. We also go into communication tips with your ex, just things to kind of really help smooth things over, because when you're in the emotional pressure cooker of negotiating a divorce, it's easy for simple conversations to kind of escalate very easily. So we have a lot of tips in that chapter to help you have a more smoother exchange with your ex. And then the last chapter in the first section is called Your Ex and the Warm Body Replacement. And that's how to handle the new woman in his life. The middle section of the book is called Heal. And that's really more about the emotional journey, about accepting the fact that the divorce is happening, kind of letting go of how you thought things were going to work out in your life, learning how to practice meditation and find peace and acceptance, and really kind of work to kind of get unstuck and kind of open yourself to how your life may turn out, like almost like embrace plan B, really, I guess, would be a way to sum up the middle section. And then the last section of the book is definitely the most fun. That's called Reveal. And that's all about socializing again and dating again for whenever you're ready for that. And then the very last chapter of the book, chapter 17, is all about creating community. And within that chapter, we give women all the tips and tools and everything they need to start their own divorce club so they can benefit like we did.
I think that's great. And, you know, I read the book and I had a lot, and I enjoyed the wide-ranging and deep advice. And in particular, as you mentioned, it's not just you and Suzanne speaking. You have tips and advice and directly from the mouths of other people who've gone through the process, and they get to share a lot of helpful tips and different perspectives and very different situations from everyone who's in the book.
Yeah, I think that's something that makes it very readable and kind of easy to jump into. There are 10 different composite characters that are all made up of two or more real life women. So that kind of no matter what your story is or your current situation, I think you're very, very likely to find someone that resonates with you or that kind of echoes your experience. And then each character has their own little illustration. So whenever the character appears throughout each chapter, there's little illustration to the side. So one of the ways to read the book could be, you know, just to go through and follow one character's trajectory, and then you could just jump in and go to the sections that really, you know, you feel like you need the advice or the help in right now.
You know, the beginning of the book, the deal section, as you said, is the most practical. And it would be useful, particularly for my audience, to jump in to some of the elements and sections and things that you talk about, because the advice is very practical and very helpful. And so a few topics that I just wanted to jump into from that section of the book is for the people who are in the early days of separation, what should they be doing?
I think every situation is different, but I think in general, most women tend to be kind of shell-shocked, honestly, even if it was your idea, because you don't really ever know how that conversation is going to go. So I think there's an element of kind of almost feeling like you're in a surreal version of your life for a while. And what we recommend is that you take this time, even if, you know, you're walking around kind of in a daze, to do a few key things just to kind of protect yourself moving forward. And we have a whole list in the book in chapter one. I'll just, you know, share a few of those with you now. I think it's really important that women set up alerts on their joint bank accounts. So whatever that number is for you and your own, you know, financial life. For me, I remember doing alerts for around like $500. So anytime more than $500 had moved out, you just get a text message. I mean, not to say anybody's going to move money around, but if they do, you should know about it. And also just kind of becoming aware of your finances, to print out all your most recent financial statements, to write down a list of all of the accounts that you have that you know about, and just kind of take that on, even though it might not be fun and it might not be something you've done. Maybe in your relationship with your husband, you never cared about the money or you didn't know where the money was. It's important now to take that on immediately and stay savvy and stay in the know, or you might regret it later. You want to be able to, I think, kind of pare down your life. Like if somebody asks you to be the new president of the PTA or you're up for a job promotion, maybe kind of take a step back and pass on those kind of opportunities in the early months of the separation, because it's really easy, I think, to get overwhelmed. That you want to take care of your health. I think it's important to not let self-care go by the wayside. You know, even though you're upset and everything feels a little bit upended, you want to really make sure that you're eating 3 meals a day, that you try to get some rest at night, you try to go for walks, even if you don't really feel like going to the gym or bumping into people, you know, just try to, you know, not let self-care really fall off the list of things that you're doing every day, because it will help you in the long run.
I'm going to jump in on that point. That's actually one point that's a consistent theme throughout the book. When you and I were talking earlier, that even as the divorce is over and you're preparing for the rest of your life, you know, taking care of yourself is just kind of at the top of the list. Staying healthy and working out and maybe getting a makeover. Or you had great hair care advice, which I said I laughed at, because if you've ever seen my picture, yeah, I have a fully shaved head and have for my whole life. But there's a lot of good, you know, it seems to be a very important point throughout the book.
And it's not all just kind of fluff stuff either, because at the end of the day, I think it's important that women, especially women early on in the process, understand that, you know, divorce is not a sprint. It is a marathon. For many, many people, it takes on average 2 years. So you do not want to go into something like that with so many key issues up for negotiation, you know, without sleeping, without eating meals, and making something that's already challenging even harder on yourself, you know, because you're so depleted. So it really is crucial, I think, to elevate self-care. It's worth it, and you're worth it, and it's important.
I want to continue on a little bit of a financial topic. We talk a lot about preparing for divorce and you know, as you said, the early days of separation. You know, if you're working at a job, as many of the people who are listening here are, what do you have? What tips do you have for not, you know, letting the divorce, which a company might just look at as a personal issue, but not really have a lot of sympathy for you, unfortunately? How do you manage that? And what kind of advice do you have for people who are working and this is going on in their life?
Well, I think that it's really important that you kind of almost, if you can, compartmentalize for when you're going to work. You have to kind of think to yourself, like, I'm going to work from whatever your hours are, 9 to 5, and I'm going to be professional Jill, for example. And at 5:15, if I need to, I can go down to my car and cry, or, you know, return phone calls or figure out what I need to do. But, you know, you need your job and you want to safeguard your job during the divorce process. And of course, this depends entirely on what your job is, but some general advice would be, you know, you don't want to go into your boss in tears. And if you feel like it's important to share what's going on with your boss, go in whenever you have a plan. And in a matter-of-fact way, you could just simply say, you know, I just needed 5 minutes of your time. I wanted to let you know that Bob and I, for example, are separating and we're going to be getting a divorce. It's not going to affect my job other than, you know, I might need to use 2 or 3 of my vacation days. I just wanted to let you know. It totally depends, of course, on your, you know, job situation. But, you know, we give an example in the book of Suzanne, who's my co-author. She waited until she had a plan in place and she went into her boss and she just basically said, you know, along those lines, you know, we're separating, we're going to be divorcing. And the only thing I would like to change and the only impact that that would have on my job is I'd like to come in an hour earlier in the morning and leave an hour earlier in the afternoon. Is that all right with you? And her boss was like, fine, no problem. And they basically never brought it up again. So she didn't go in until she had a plan. The other things you would definitely not want to do is take advantage of the shared photocopier. So in your kind of more fragile state, you do not want to leave like all of your divorce documents and stuff for your attorney and financial statements in the shared copier for prying eyes to see. You want to limit your personal phone calls at work. Everyone's going to be worried about you. You're going to have extra calls from your mother, your sister, your cousin. your best friend, you know, ask them to call you in the evening when you can speak to them privately. You don't need to get upset at work. It's better to kind of just stay focused. There's also an example in the book of one of the characters, Jamie. She did not limit her calls at work, and she was called into her boss's office, you know, and got a reprimand about it. And then, you know, she had to be on the defensive and explain what was going on. So it's just better to go in knowing that you want to limit those calls at work.
Yeah, I think that's very helpful advice. But it sounds like, as you started, the most important thing you can do, if you can, is compartmentalize and separate, you know, what's happening in the divorce from the way you conduct your job.
You know, if you can do that, that is really, truly the ideal way for you to get through each day. Kind of just let yourself know that, you know what, I'm going to tap into all these feelings at 5:15. But right now, I'm just going to get through the day. And if that means you don't chit chat at the water cooler as much, or maybe go out to lunch with some of your coworkers, then so be it. You know, you have to do what works for you. But one last tip would be save your vacation days and some sick days, because you will likely need them for court dates, to meet with your attorney. If there's issues with now a shared schedule with your ex and the kids in school, you know, there might be a few times where now you have to stay home with a sick child, where before, you know, your ex was willing to do that for you. So just save some days, because you'll probably need them.
You know, sticking on the career theme, something that I haven't seen actually almost anywhere in terms of in other books or websites or anything else. You have this great section on after the divorce, and you need to start thinking about a new career, kind of what your options might be that don't require you to go back to school for 3 years and you know, that kind of thing, and then started an entry-level job after another 3 years of no income. You had some kind of jobs that you can get into that pay reasonably well and don't require too much training. Why don't you, we don't have to go in depth into all of them, but why don't you toss out some ideas for people who will potentially need income after this process is over?
The list was basically 6 jobs you could start in 6 months or less with training. So, you know, really just a chance to kind of jump back into the job field if you need to ASAP. Maybe you stayed home, or maybe you need to switch careers for whatever reason. One of them is a phlebotomist. So that's the person at the nurse's office, doctor's office, the hospital that draws blood. You can get about, I think, a certificate for 80 hours or less in general for doing that. And then the pay would range between like $25,000 and $37,000. If you have a second language that you speak, you could get a job as a health or a medical interpreter, helping people, again, at the hospital who are English as a second language. So, you know, if you were fluent in Spanish, Portuguese, different languages, that's something that, you know, could be an option for you. And that pays up to $60,000, according to our research.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, so it's just something that you might not even realize. You have a skill, and then the training for a certificate, I think the hours range between 40 and 400. It depends what state you're in. What I did was I went to real estate school, and you need 75 classroom hours in New Jersey. And I got a real estate license, passed the state test, and I started working within 3 weeks. And then with that job, really the salary is sky's the limit. You know, you meet with clients on the weekend. You're typically able to take the kids to school, pick them up from school. That was, you know, very important to me. And I wanted to have a job where I was, for the most part, in the town where my kids were at school. So if somebody gets hurt on the slide or throws up, you know, I could be at the school in 10 minutes. So that was very appealing to me. You could also get some training at a restaurant. You could go back to work as a waitress or a bartender. And of course, the more expensive the restaurant, the better the tips that you're going to get. You could also be a certified nurse assistant, and that can pay up to $200 a day.
Wow, that's great. There's a lot of interesting ideas that most people don't really think about. And as you said, you know, you got your real estate certifications within, what, a 3 week period?
Well, the class I took was every day for 2 weeks straight. And then the next week I went and did like the state test and fingerprinting and the things I needed to do. But within 3 weeks I was up and running. And the one I forgot to mention was paralegal. And there's not even regulated certificate program for that. So sometimes you could even do on the job training. And we've seen people make between $40,000 and $50,000 a year doing that.
Those are all great tips and great advice for people. I want to zoom out for a little bit and kind of take a step back from the hard practical skills and steps And maybe talk a little bit more general. One message in the book is that, you know, divorce isn't the end. And there's also a way to make it something positive for your life. Can you tell us about the techniques that you used and that you recommend other people perhaps pursue and use as well?
Sure. Well, I mean, the focus, of course, the title is The Optimist's Guide to Divorce. So throughout the entirety of the book, you know, whether it's finances or acceptance and forgiveness or just kind of working on yourself before you begin dating, we really take the perspective of, you know, you want to look for the good, listen for the good, focus on the good, because whatever you focus on expands. That's like a universal law. So one of the techniques that we mention in the book, it's actually from chapter 12, Write Your Own Happy Ending, which is in the heal section, is called the reframe and reclaim technique. And we give the example of Miss Havisham from Great Expectations. So she's left at the altar, basically defrauded of her fortune. And for the rest of the book, she never takes off her wedding dress. The cake is rotting. The clocks are all stopped, like when she got the letter. And basically what she did was, you know, this one man, this one disappointing man shaped her entire life. But the reality is it's only because she let him do that. So we give positive examples of women in the book who kind of used a reframe and a reclaim technique to learn how to tell their story of their divorce in a way that was more powerful and more positive to them. So it was something that they could tell at, let's say, a party when somebody says, oh, I heard you got divorced. What happened? So you don't launch into a long tail of woe that will make someone want to jump out the window. Instead, you can be like, yep, well, we were married for 15 years. It didn't work out, unfortunately. But now I've learned that, you know, I need to make myself a priority and I'm enjoying my new job at the advertising agency and I get to decorate the house however I want. You know, so the personal way you could do that would be you want to write down the facts of your divorce. You kind of want to think about, like, what is the story I tell others when they say, like, what happened? Do you launch into a long tale, you know, that's really depressing, or do you keep it a little bit more simple? And then think about what are the positives that have come out of this? Because there's always something. Maybe it's you finally have some time to yourself. Maybe it's you've reconnected with friends and family, or you always wanted to live at the beach and you moved to the beach. Like, there's always something that you can find. And that's something we have in the book, where every character has something that is a direct result of her separation or divorce that she never would have considered before as being important or was there before. And like, now she has that.
And for people who want to get the book and also who may want to contact you, what's the best way for them to do that?
Well, you can visit our website at optimistguidetodivorce.com, and our contact information is on the website, and also you can order the book from the website as well.
Excellent. Well, Jill, thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Thank you for having me.
We've reached the end of the episode, but before you go, I want to make sure you get some really important information at divorceandyourmoney.com. While you're there, sign up for the email list so I can keep you updated with exclusive information and resources that you won't find anywhere else. Also on the site, you can get access to one-on-one coaching, and I get to work with you, the listeners of the show, all over the United States, and I'm easy to work with, friendly, and ultimately, it boils down to just doing a couple of things specific to your situation, either before or during your divorce. The main things are understanding your financial picture and helping you negotiate the best possible settlement. My goal is to keep you from making a bunch of potential financial mistakes, over 24 hours worth if you listen to the show. And after divorce, once this process is over, and even though it doesn't feel like it is now, or it might not ever be over, but it will end, and divorce will be over. And the other thing that we get to do together in the coaching sessions is help you plan and thrive for the rest of your life. Now, I even have a new post and a podcast episode called The 5 Ways Attorneys Screw Up Your Settlement Financially. And working with an attorney is important, as you will know from listening to the show, but they make a lot of financial mistakes. And so I want to prevent those things from hurting you, not only during the divorce process, but potentially for the rest of your life. Now, you know, for you, this is probably your first or maybe your second divorce. but I've helped negotiate over $200 million in settlements in the last few years. And when you book a coaching session, you just set up with an intro call, and the services are fixed prices. So, you know, there's no worrying about every 15 minutes being billed at $500 an hour or anything like that. And I get to know you very well. I talk to most of my clients far more than they talk to their divorce attorneys. And we get to know each other really well after and during the process. And the sooner you book an intro session, the better. We can get more involved, and it's easier to change things and strategize for the negotiation earlier in the process. And also, as a practical matter, I only help a certain number of people at a time just to make sure to keep the high level of quality of services. So click on the coaching tab and fill out the form, and we can book an intro call to see if I can help you. Also on the website, I want to make sure that you check out the courses. If you like the show, you're going to love the courses. The courses are a little bit longer. They're about an hour and a half each, and they come with visuals, handouts, some extensive resources, and it teaches you in-depth, comprehensive subjects. Things like, what steps do you need to take before divorce, even before hiring an attorney, and how to get a divorce without losing everything, the 12 ways to avoid common settlement mistakes. They're great. People love them. You'll see the testimonials. And if you like the show and maybe you're not ready for coaching yet, that's a great way to get some essential information that will help you. Oh, yeah. And if you do take the courses, I actually will give you a huge discount on future coaching services because you will be well informed and knowledgeable by going through the courses as well. Now, finally, sign up for the show. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes or your podcast player. And if you are on iTunes, please leave a review, which helps other people discover this information. I'm your host, Sean Lehman, MBA and certified divorce financial analyst. Thank you for listening.